A few weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we learned a new chorus. We kind of tagged it with Because He Lives, but we're going to sing that chorus this morning as we open up our service. Would you stand with me as we sing My Hope, My Healer, My Strength, Redeemer? Sing with us.
My hope, my healer, my strength, Redeemer, my all.
Good morning. My name is Sandy Grimacki, and I am the elementary director here at Grace. We are starting to plan our VBS for this summer. We are going to be having our VBS July 14th to 18th, and we are starting signups for volunteers. This morning, we have a form out in the foyer, a signup sheet, and it has a list of some different things. There are many different areas that we need help in. It's a great opportunity to impact both our kids and kids in the community, so I would just ask that you prayerfully consider being a part of that week, and go ahead and sign up beginning today back in the foyer. Speaking of signing up, we have some other gaps in our children's ministry right now, especially over these next few months, where we need some extra volunteers to serve. And so if you'll look in your bulletin, there is a list of specific needs, and there's a QR code where you can go to the link that connects to and just choose a few or one of those areas where we need some extra help. Please note that we actually don't need any more volunteers for the Grace check-in substitute. We have had several people sign up to do that, which is appreciated. But the other three areas we still do need some help in, so please check that out. And continuing in a conversation about some Grace Kids ministries and church ministries, I'm going to introduce Cheryl Wingett. Many of you know her because she's been a longtime missionary of our church, good friends to many of you, and she and I have been partnering in a crucial and important ministry in our church, and she's going to share some things about that.
Well, as Sandy said, my name's Cheryl Wingett. And it's great to be back at Grace Baptist Church. I've got to tell you, before I give my announcement, this is a huge week for our family. 30 years ago, this next week, we moved to Budapest, Hungary, and we became missionaries there, and it has been the best decision we ever made. And I just wanted to say thank you for being our sending church. About 100 of you gathered there at the Chattanooga airport and saw us off and launched us into ministry. And I thank you so much for it. We thank you for the support and prayers and love that we've received for well over 30 years. You know, on that April morning, on that beautiful sunny April morning, You know, we had all kinds of exciting ideas that we wanted to do in Budapest and in Central and Eastern Europe. We went with ideas of theological education and evangelism and discipleship, and a lot of those came to be, and it was really great. But you know, but God, He always surprises us, and He surprised us with ministries that we never ever imagined. And for example, I'm going to tell you about one of them that many of you know about. We got involved in something that ABWE, Debbie and Joel Dix, still do, and their team over in Hungary, and that is teaching English as a second language. Steve just had lunch with one of the guys that came to know Jesus through that ministry in Budapest. Yoji told him, that decision that I made in your outreach completely changed every decision and every aspect of my life and my extended family. So many of them have come to know Jesus as well. And, you know, we didn't plan to do that. That was an extra ministry that God just brought our way. But when Linda Shenefield and a bunch of people here at the church heard about that ministry, they came to the leadership and said, we would like to do an English as a second language ministry here. And that became part of Grace Baptist Church. And so we rejoice in that. The cool thing about that is no one had to move overseas. No one had to get on an airplane. The mission field came to you. And this morning, I want to tell you about another ministry that I've been involved in for about 20 years. If you want to hear the whole story, we can talk sometime, maybe over coffee. But God dropped in our lap a different kind of ministry, and that's working with children with special needs. And once again, the mission field just happened on us. In the 21st century, scientists and doctors and teachers are baffled, totally baffled, at the way that autism and dyslexia and all kinds of different special needs in children, it's just boomed at an unprecedented rate. And there are children in your community, in this community, and yes, even in this church, that learn differently from other children. And I think it's really important that all children get to hear about Jesus and that they can learn about Jesus. Another part of that is parents of children with special needs, sometimes it's really hard for them to go to church because they are worried about their child and if, you know, all the things with special needs children. And they miss out on knowing that there's hope in Jesus Christ. So, this is another mission field that's come to you. God has brought a mission field to you. You don't even have to get on a plane. On Saturday, May 18th, from 1 o'clock until 4:30, Grace Baptist is sponsoring a training that's going to equip people just like you to help children that learn differently. Concord Baptist Church over here on East Brainerd Road has graciously offered the church a place to meet, and some of Concord's children's workers are going to join in this training. Donna Patrick, who I know many of you know, and I are going to be teaching this training, and we are so excited about it. You don't have to be a teacher. You just have to love children. You have to try something that is a little bit outside of your comfort zone, maybe. And you have to, you'll just learn some tips for helping children who struggle that we encounter in our church. So if you're interested, meet me over here by the organ after church, and I can give you more details. Maybe you have never had the opportunity to be a global missionary. I've loved that part of our life. But once again, God has brought this untapped mission field to you. And if you're interested, we would love to talk to you about it so that we can meet the needs of people in our community.
Thank you. And you'll see in your bulletin, there's a QR code for this as well to sign up for this special needs luncheon and training. So take a picture of that QR code, sign up, and we'll get you connected to this. Thanks.
So today we have in our service an individual who has seen more of life than I would say most of us. And there is an individual here who is celebrating their 105th birthday. Barb Summers is with us today. I think she deserves a round of applause. There you go. There you go. It's a beautiful thing when you have such a beautiful person that has represented a long series of years collectively, and then to see and also to have the testimony of her children who have come to know Christ and are also walking in truth. And as we were talking this morning, you know, she's talking about all those who are in heaven that she's longing to see. And at the same time, it's just a joy to see a life that is still so sweet and is so caring and is as vibrant and vivacious as Barb is. And so Barb, we wish you a very, very happy birthday. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Amen. And by the way, today is the day. So it's truly her birthday today. Speaking of births, we've also had a couple of other births that have taken place, and we'll see if they make it to 105. But at the same time, I want to wish a congratulations to the Reeses. They celebrated the birth of Kate Elizabeth and came into the world yesterday, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, around 20 inches, 21 inches, somewhere in there. And so grateful for that. And then also, Mike and Joan Swanson are celebrating another grandchild, and Vienna Jolies. She is spending a couple days in the NICU. She's 5 pounds, 2 ounces, but seems to be doing very well, and grateful for that. And so congratulations to the Swansons as well as to the Reeses. I see the grandparents are just beaming. There's this glow over there. And so excited for them, and wishing them the best as well. There's others that we are continuing to also pray for and to be reminded of. I had good words from the Kleises. Noella is doing well in her recovery, but has a long journey ahead of her. And also, we pray for Aiden. Some of you may have heard the word, but just this last week, he had what has been diagnosed as an epileptic seizure, first he's ever had that they know of. And so be in prayer for Aiden, and pray for the family. Pray they can get him into a neurologist very quickly, and just getting wisdom about what's ahead for him. But grateful the Lord protected him. And then there's several others there as well that we're praying for. So as a church, I hope that we'll pray one for another. And in these days, may the Lord encourage our hearts, and may we be refreshed in what the Lord and what His Spirit is doing in us. Let's go to Him at this time, and let's dedicate our service, and let's enjoy singing again, getting into our time of worship. As we've heard about a lot of different ministry opportunities and ways that God is at work, let's continue to celebrate the work that He's doing, chiefly through the gospel. Lord, we're grateful for this morning and glad that each of us could be gathered in this place. And we pray for those that are perhaps watching online or just not able to be here today. I pray that You'll encourage their hearts. Lord, as always, we enjoy the fellowship that we have one with another and the opportunity to celebrate what it is that You're doing. And Lord, grateful for life, grateful for Barb being with us. And then Lord, the testimony that we're hearing of these two new births that have come into the world. And Lord, the union of life, and Lord, just grateful for what You're doing. Lord, pray for our church as a whole. I pray that You would strengthen us, and I pray that we would continue to see, Lord, new life and the testimonies of people coming to know You as their Savior, that birth, that new birth experience. And Lord, I pray that we would be the salt and light that You've called us to be, testimonies of Your grace, of Your love. Lord, grateful for Your mercy to us and saving us. And so Lord, today as we celebrate, Lord, as we commemorate, as we think about our lives in reflection of Your glory, I pray, Lord, that you'll draw us closer to you, that you'll magnify yourself in our midst, and Lord, may we truly worship you, that we would establish you upon the throne of our heart, but Lord, in a place supreme, above and beyond all others, Lord, that you would truly be seen as God, as supreme in our existence. So bless our experience here today, but Lord, let it not be the experience that we cling to, but Lord, that relationship, that joy that is something eternal. And Lord, may we cherish every opportunity. So bless us now, we pray. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. The scripture says, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So join me, stand with me again, join us as we lead you in worship, singing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. What a joy.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Christ alone, glory.
love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
In all my life,
in all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath, like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. The sure goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so.
Our desire, our heart beat, our passion, that every breath that I'm able, I'm going to sing of your goodness and your greatness and your faithfulness and your love. God, may that be our heart's desire today. May we seek what you have to say for us in your word today. Just strengthen Adam as he speaks today and give him the words that would encourage us, embolden us to be more like you. For it's in Jesus' precious and good name we pray. Amen.
John's Gospel this morning, chapter 14 again. I say again because this is where we were last Sunday, and yet I want to continue to expand upon a little bit more of what we find here is what Christ is encouraging his disciples with at this point where they are at in the journey. Remember again, as we said, this is before the time of the crucifixion, before the empty tomb. are these words that he gives to them, and in many ways, the impact of these words are only going to be realized after Christ comes back out of the grave. And so for us, as the post-cross, post-empty tomb experienced believers, we also gain an appreciation and understanding of what it was that he impressed upon their hearts and their understanding at this time that they would yet need time to realize. And so I hope that we can begin to realize some of these things. John chapter 14 and verse 16, we're going to pick it up there, read again to the end of the chapter. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now Judas, not the one who is known as Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. Father, I pray as we open your word now that you'll teach us, direct us, help us to see. And not just seeing truths on a page, but let us see the truth that points us beyond the page into life, and especially to the life that you have granted us to everyone who believes. And so, Lord, minister to our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to speak this morning about the rule of three. There is a superstition that all things, whether good or evil, come in threes, and it's referred to as the rule of three. We were at deacon's meeting. This came up just this last week, right, Neil? And he was talking about all that the Lord, and I love it when we can bring God into it, but you know, that there's been some things going on in their world, and it's like it's in threes, he said. You know, this broke down, that broke down, and we say, well, you need a third, and he says, well, yeah, the microwave broke down too. And you know, just we were talking about that concept, and it was interesting as I was preparing, and my mind is already preparing for this thought and thinking about this, and it's interesting how many things come in threes. Your primary colors are red, yellow, blue. You have the three macronutrients of carbs and proteins and fats. There's three dimensions, length, width, height. And then there's all these other three-oriented phrases like the third time's a charm, going down for the third time, three strikes and you're out, and tic-tac-toe, three in a row. And then you even have the three musketeers, right, on top of that. But nevertheless, what Christ speaks to here in John 14 is something that also involves three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You notice in John 14, all parts of the Godhead are identified and very much associated with everything that he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, I and the Father are one. And by the way, we're not going to leave you as orphans, we're going to send you the Holy Spirit. It's a very Trinitarian concept here of understanding that every aspect of his being as part of the Godhead is represented here now to do something for us. But then there's another triplet that Christ emphasized that will actually become foundational to a lot of the rest of our New Testament, and also really foundational to chapters 15, 16, and 17 here, right here in John. Christ lays out a foundation that the later writers, especially Paul, would pick up on and expand in their writings. Let me give you an example. Romans chapter 5, notice what he says here in Romans 5, 1 through 8. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep, and be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, and if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Peter picks up on it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, he says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. And then one last passage that's really familiar to a lot of us comes out of that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. And the very last verse that Paul uses there in that chapter is, but now faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And with these passages in mind, I want you to revisit now back with me John 14 and think about how these three elements are evident even here in John 14, where he talks about faith, love, hope. You say, where is that? All right, I'm glad you asked, because I'm about to tell you. All right, let's go to the first, and let's see faith in this section. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. But then also go down to verse 10. And he says, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. And truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, in many ways, this passage has gotten a little bit twisted as to almost meaning that then if there is anything that is sort of a name it, claim it kind of a theology that has come out, and that's bunk, okay? Let me just put it very plain and simple. That is not at all what Christ is referring to here. What those passages is talking about, especially in the prayer life of our existence, is based upon the fact that there's a unity, there's a union that you and I share with the Father. We share this with God, and it all is established in what we are believing, what we are holding true because of faith. John, in reference to the concept of belief, is tying together the concept of faith. This is about believing. Come and see this one. Do you believe? This entire section is filled with this demonstration of the Godhead. You have the Son, you have the Father, you have the Holy Spirit. All three parts of the Godhead is being clearly seen as very active in our salvation. Every aspect of John's gospel is pointing to a very dynamic relationship that only can be achieved through an understanding of who Jesus is. What is Jesus to you? To have a relationship with Jesus as simply a man was not enough. And to imagine that Jesus was just simply the Son of God would have done humanity no good. But in the infinite wisdom of God, God chose to come as man, to enter into the realm of humanity as God and as human, to alter the very trajectory of our existence. Jesus being, as he declared in chapter 14, verse 6, the way, because the way is something that we can achieve because of knowing that he is truth, that what Jesus is telling us is the truth. And that only in him and following in that way do we have life. Can you believe that? And then Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to make sure that we have the very presence of the Father and the Son within us. Can you believe that? Believe in God, believing in the Son. And so the evidence of this faith, the trust in what God has revealed, to take God at his very word, to understand that in him is life and in no other is the solution of life. So that is the tie to the faith aspect, that later on all of this truth that comes, the fullness of the cross, the emptiness of a tomb, the 1 Corinthians 15 concept that in the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. And so we declare a message that still requires people to come by faith, trusting in this, not a faith that is blind, not a faith that is obscured to some form of insensibility, this concept that just cannot be realized, but true, honest faith in what has been declared. This is the way. So do you believe? And that becomes foundational to everything that the writers of the epistles and later would come and give to us. What are you trusting in? What are you believing in? Do you believe in God? Then believe in me. But what's interesting is then what Christ does with this concept of this fledgling concept of faith that he has been giving to his disciples at this point, and then what really comes as an evidence of this as he expands on that later into the epistles and so forth, as more and more details are added and understanding of these things. It's not just about faith, but notice the second of the three, and that is love. It's interesting because of the exchange between verses 14 to 15. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Does that not bother you? I mean, do you ever just kind of come through that passage and you're like, okay, is there a verse missing in here anywhere? How did we segue to these things? And it's really not that complicated when you understand that what he is basically driving at is this belief system is going to be evidence in what you love. This is very Hebraic. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with... And in that simplest of expression, It's like what he said to the lawyer back in the other testaments, and as he talked about in the lawyer that comes to him, is what is the greatest commandment? And he, in different ways, he would frame it. Sometimes it's a question, sometimes it's an answer. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all. And Christ says to him, with that understanding, you're close. Because how can you truly believe in a God that you do not love? How can you claim to uphold to a system of thinking, a way of living, a way of life, if you don't really love it? And it doesn't change the way you love. It doesn't change your pursuits and your passions of life. And so any ways that we look at this passage, everything boils down to understanding that what I am asking, even my prayer life, the things that I am demonstrating to believe, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Go to verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is, again, Christ demonstrating his love for his disciples. In verses 23 and 24, he says, Jesus said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, he keeps redoubling the emphasis. This is not just about what I am saying. This is what I've received from the Father. And the Father and I are going to give this then to the Holy Spirit, who is then going to teach you. But will you love us? Will you take what we're saying in our word? This is the way. Will you follow the way? There is no other way. Will you follow the word that I am giving to you? In verse 28, he says, you have heard, and I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. But if you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. In verses 30 and 31, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. John 3:16. You remember that verse? For God so loved, and he loved this world so much so that he sent his Son, and that whoever would have faith in him, believe in him, will never experience the eternal condemnation. You see, what God is doing is he is modeling his love, revealing his love through the willingness and the obedience of Jesus to the Father. And what Jesus is saying is that believers are to love, that they had already heard this, in fact, and we really didn't spend a lot of time on this, but back in John chapter 13, go back there, verse 34 and 35, and he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are followers of mine, my disciples, if you have love for one another. And he reiterates that here in chapter 14. This is how people are going to know the love of the Father that he has for me and I have for him. We walk in obedience with each other. We trust each other. We do the words that have been commanded. I have a command. I have a responsibility. I must go and die on a cross for you. And I gladly lay down my life because I love you. And in much the same way that I love you, and as much in the same way as we're seeing Christ modeling the love of the Father, the love of the Father for us, he is asking us now who believe, who have faith, to love. It's Christ's love, and as the Father loved, we are also to love. And I find that love has become such an interesting word in today's definition. You know, I think about today, love today is meant to express one's passions and one's right. Love is meant to express one's emotions at the expense of one's mind or reason. Love trumps the truth. Love overrules even authority. I mean, think about this. How many movies have you watched where you have some boy being crushed by some overbearing father and he's never allowed to realize his dreams? And how many stories are written upon the pages of the romance novels where forbidden love is sought, even to the expense of marriage vows, or in today's thinking, the biological nature of our humanity? But we love one another. Love is the excuse and the cause, but here in John 14, love is not about what I want, but what is best for you. Love is my choice to choose you over my desires and my wants. Love is the expression of sacrifice and seeing that others are better off because of how my life helps them instead of how they can always help me. Love is others-oriented and faces away from the mirror and sees you. Love comes with a roadmap. It comes with a model. Love comes with a guide, for God is love. And where faith is focused on the need that only God can satisfy, love focuses on expressing our gratitude for being loved. Love takes faith and it makes it real. Love makes faith come to life. Love gives faith its hands and its feet. It is following Christ and touching lives along the way. And faith is not something that is kept inside a dark cell or pushed away from the rest of humanity and from the world. Love brings to light the faith that we claim to hold. Love brings faith into the world and it shows Jesus to the world that has rejected God. That's what real love does, because that is the kind of love that our God had for us, that he brought himself into the darkness, every time rejected, but always willing to sacrifice himself for you and for me. That is being loved. And in that love wherewith we were loved, we turn around and love other people. And in the way that Christ loved, not that we could go to a cross and die as he did. That's not what he is saying. That was his responsibility to walk in obedience to the Father. But how do you love as Christ loved you? And it takes what you know of God and brings all of what you believe and understand to be true as written according to his word. And it brings it into practice because love is that activity of faith. But notice a third of the three. And that is the last is hope. Look at verses 25 and following. He says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard it said, I'm going to go away. And he repeats himself there, and he says, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced. He says in verse 29, I've told you this before, so that when it happens, you may believe. And even though the ruler of this world is coming, he has nothing in me. There isn't anything that he's got a hold over me. There isn't anything in a partnership in this. There is nothing as the yin and the yang that we want to believe in. There is no good versus evil. There is just simply God. And even though the ruler is trying to come and he has a plan, he has an agenda, and it's going to attack and it's going to disperse, there's going to be threats, there is still peace. My peace I give to you. And the very last phrase is an interesting one. I love reading the scholars on this section. Go, get up, let's go from here. And really, there's a couple of ways to think about this. It's something that John puts in here because he's signifying that there's a movement now. And we go into the 15, 16, and 17, and eventually we get to the Garden of Gethsemane. So yes, there is a physical change, but it's not a quick one. But it's also, it's sort of like there is a movement now. There's a stepping out now. I've just shared this with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Okay, let's go. If you abide in the vine, as chapter 15 will say, for without me you can do nothing, as we'll see in verse 5. My Father is glorified by this, that there's fruit, verse 8. I mean, you get this movement, you get to 16, he talks more about the Spirit. In 17, he talks about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the unity of that, and how we will be reflections of that union. And then comes the tomb, and all the fear, and everything around it. Peace I give to you. It's not what the world can give, it's what I can give. Now, you may be asking yourself, okay, that's all good, but I'm still hung up on that big word up on the screen because you said hope. I don't see hope here like, you know, all these other places. And that's very much our very Western way of thinking because we're looking for the word. But the problem that we have many times is we fail to appreciate and understand the concept that peace has. Do you remember the message of the angels back in Luke chapter 2? And they come to those shepherds this is almost 30 plus years now, maybe 33, 34 years before this event here in this place. And you remember what they said to those shepherds out there in Luke 2? Verse 10, it says, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news, great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And notice verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? What, church? Peace among men with whom he is pleased. And hold on, before we move off that. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. This shall be great news to you, good news to you of great joy. The peace of God, the God of peace, the glory of God has been made present. Where? Here on earth. And to understand then, as we move into this thought, Jesus is that peace. Jesus is that solution for the strife, for the war, for the animosity, for violence, for bigotry, for prejudice, for racial and ethnic instability. Jesus is the hope of mankind that mankind has been looking for. Because in hope you find peace. And in hope you find joy. Because in hope you find the reason to live. The true source of peace is found when your hope is fixated on deliverance or on comfort that passes all comprehension. Peace held now amid conflict is realized because your earthly conflict resolved is not as great as having the conflict in your soul resolved. You see, peace comes when you know where eternity is held. And peace comes when you know that no matter what happens here, God has you. Matthew Henry is credited for writing this statement, and I quote, it says, "Joy and peace as believers arises chiefly from our hopes and what is laid out upon us is but little compared with what is laid up for us in glory." The quote goes on to say, therefore, the more hope we have, the more joy and peace we have. We do then abound in hope when we hope for great things from God and are greatly established and confirmed in these hopes. And Christians should desire and labor after an abundance of hope, such hope as will not be ashamed. This is a peace rooted in a hope that this world cannot give to you. It's not something that can offer me. It isn't that the world cannot have bouts or visions of peace. This peace that Jesus can give is not like anything the world has to offer you. Why? Because there is nothing to have hope within what the world offers you. I want you to think about it. So we sign a peace treaty between Israel and Gaza. What is the assurity that it will last? A doctor says the cancer's in remission. What is the assurity that it will remain so? A vow is made at the altar and a couple departs the venue. So what is the assurity that that marriage will not end in divorce? If we place our confidence in our human ability, our human ingenuity, really what true guarantee do we possess? Our hope is in God, the maker of heaven and earth. And from him we gain our peace, no matter what this world brings to us. So what can we take away today? Let me leave you with this thought. My life reflects faith and endures through any crisis because of the love my God has for me. I don't know why you're here this morning. Some of you, it's just pure habit. But nestled within our faith, whether you thought that maybe by attending church today on a Sunday, maybe God would maybe knock some of the crud off of your tally, that maybe you and him could be a little bit more comfortable with each other. Or maybe you came because someone has said that, you know, there's a good group of people here and they really care about people, and maybe you're trying to find something to give you something to live for. Well, let me tell you, in all of those situations, faith becomes lifeless and hope becomes pointless unless you can truly appreciate how much and how deeply God loves you, no matter where you are and no matter who you are. And that in his love, he tells us when we're wrong, but in his love, he tells us how to get right. And in his love, he nurtures our soul and he refreshes our spirit and he guides us, because his love is a guide. And it teaches us that God sent himself to not fix this earth, but to fix the way for you to have something of a promise that is eternal, to know how deeply God loves you. I know what I go through, and there are days when you just can't breathe and it hurts. And I can't imagine that you have not suffered some of those days in your own life, but there's always hope because of what Christ has promised. And that ties us back to what we're truly believing in. It's nothing that this world has to offer you. My love endures for you only if my love matches the love of Christ for you. And I can say that about my wife. I can say that about my children. I can say that about every relationship that I have. And I think about why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13 that the greatest of these is love. You've got faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because one day faith will have sight. And hope one day is going to be realized. But love is what endures for all of eternity. One day our faith will see the face of God and will no longer need to simply hold onto that hope of a peace that will one day be ours, because it will be seen. But love is what we're going to have for all of eternity. The love of our God and the ability to love one another is going to last even beyond what this world has to offer. It's something that will never fade, because it's the way of Christ that we will be like Christ. Faith, love, hope. Let me ask you this morning, are you at peace with God? Is God at peace with you? And from that, have you obtained the peace that comes from God that passes all understanding? Does the peace of God allow you to love others like Jesus did, even your enemies? The rule of three: let the three parts of the Godhead rule within your heart, and allow Christ's existence to rule within your existence, so that you can truly understand what your faith is all about, your love is all about, and why you can have hope no matter what. If in any of those three areas you're struggling this morning, don't leave here before you talk to somebody. Come talk to me. Come grab someone and let us show you from his word how you can truly know what you're trusting in, what you're loving, and why you can have hope even today. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that we would walk in grace and truth, and may you be seen. May the peace that only you afford can be granted to our hearts. And for that soul that's here, that's desperate, that is broken, that is hurting, that is so overwhelmed with what life has handed them, I pray, God, that you would break through to their need of you. And so, Lord, do the work that only your Spirit can, because you are the one that teaches us these things. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let's sing together, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attendeth my way,
this world.
Bless you. We are so grateful that you've joined us today. Thank you, Pastor, for words from the Word. And we're thankful for Pastor and his dedication to preaching the Word. So we're thankful for that. There is a fellowship immediately after the service. Just if you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to join us back in the fellowship hall just through these doors. Just keep going through the doors to the fellowship hall for a brief time. I do want to remind you, we didn't mention it at the beginning of the service, but we need to mention that there is a business meeting next Sunday afternoon, the 28th, next Sunday afternoon at 4:00 in the afternoon here in the sanctuary. So we would love for you to join us for that, to hear what's going on within our ministry and so forth. It's also good to have the Sokols. I think they came in just a little bit after the service started, but we're glad to have them, Vitaly and Ann and their kids. So be just know that they're here and have a chance to speak with them. So Lord bless you. You're dismissed.